July 20, 2014, is the Watt Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Started off, well, let me start right off by saying, welcome back to Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point here, and Brother Matt.
Yeah.
It's been a while. You were in Hawaii.
Aloha. Yeah,
I was
cool.
In Brooklyn.
It was very cool. We're different climates.
Yeah.
Two different
mine
climates.
Was probably as sweaty as yours, so I can tell you, it wasn't SoCal. Let me tell people what we start off with. We started with the untitled original, Exotica. Maybe it is titled. Heavyweight Cherokee Anthology, John Coltrane. After that, brand new, from Sawako, Piano Cota. How was your trip, Brother Matt?
It was righteous. It was very cool. I hit the Big Island.
We're talking Hawaii, people.
Yeah, Maui and Molokai.
Did you see the volcano? Did you fly over?
I was at the volcano on my birthday. I didn't fly over. Last year I flew over it. This year I walked around it.
Went to the lava tubes.
Hung out till nighttime so I could see it glowing.
Yeah.
So that was pretty righteous.
Was it hot? Did you feel it?
Well, I didn't get that close.
Okay.
But I was like a couple hundred yards away.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I went the opposite way. I was at the top of Mauna Kea, the biggest mountain in the world, from the seafloor up. I was at about 13,800 feet.
Because that's what Hawaii is. Out there, peaks from the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
That's a mountain range.
Yeah, a little volcanic rift out there.
Yeah.
So that was bitching being
up
there.
What about feet? Did you get some feet cut on coral?
No, this time no injuries. But the observatories up there were bitching. It was cold.
Yeah.
But we were like above the atmosphere.
The highest I went was Oahu Diamond Head.
Huh.
Tiny boy. 200 steps or something.
And then Molokai, no stoplights. That was right. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it was very mellow.
No stoplights, but they do have cars.
Yeah. But $5.80 for gas, I think it was.
Was Kauai, though. One of them, nobody's allowed to bring cars, though, right?
That's one, the local one, Little Kahului or Nihau or something like that.
That's how you say hi in China.
I don't know. The other ones are kind of...
There's some rural guys where they're not allowed.
Kind of tough to say, yeah.
One just gets bombed. Brother Matt, we should say hello to our guest.
Yeah, guest. Welcome.
Rob, how do you pronounce this?
Roberge, like concierge.
Okay. Sometimes that gets lost when it comes over, so. Roberge.
Cool. Welcome.
Or Roberga.
My mother gets it wrong, so.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she married the man.
Yeah.
Someone's at your chamber.
Yeah, sure, another man.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You ain't in Long Beach now.
No. Pedro, just up the hill.
Yeah. Up the hill.
Well, by the bell.
Oh.
Hi.
In Pedro, when people say hill, they mean the hill.
Oh, the Rich Hill?
Hi.
Yeah, we do have a lot of hills in Pedro. In fact, this baby here, Point Furman.
Yeah, it sucks if you're on a bike.
A little bit.
Yeah,
cross trainer.
Yeah, total cross trainer.
Yeah. But the Korean Bell, that was a present given to us in 1976, our 200th birthday.
Yeah.
That used to be Fort MacArthur Upper Reservation, so you could see if anybody wanted to guard the harbor, why you would want that hill.
That's where the whole mishap with post Pearl Harbor was, right?
Yeah, they still celebrate it.
February.
That's not really something to celebrate.
I think it was all over.
SoCal people were killed by the stuff that came down. But anyway, some asshole likes to celebrate that there. I used to be in Battery Osgood Farm for a year. The War Freak turned it into a museum, and so now I'm in the Officer's Head. I've been there almost 28 years. Let's get to you. You're a writer, man. What's your first memory of that endeavor?
It's kind of weird. I came from a house where my dad restored cars and my mom didn't read. So I didn't really know there were writers till I got to college. Like, I just kind of thought that all writers were kind of dead.
So you didn't have writing experience young?
Not really. Read the required stuff in high school, but...
And you had to write some pieces.
Yeah.
I remember writing some embarrassing things.
Yeah, they were terrible.
For me, it was really hard to get what was in my mind onto the paper. I would leave out so many words. Okay, so... writing as a thing you wanted to do. Didn't have to do college.
Yeah, it was all...
Well, I mean, so how old's that?
Hey, it's worked out, you know.
No, how old's that?
Oh, geez. I was catering a reading, and I had no idea what a reading was. And it was the perfect one. It was a...
Is that like 19?
Oh, geez. 1985?
20? No, your age.
19?
19. Okay. That's still kind of young.
Yeah. It seems really young now.
So you were like in charge of a reading, and you know, didn't know what a reading was?
I was in charge of catering the reading.
The chow for the reading.
Yep.
Okay. But you still didn't know what a reading was.
I really didn't, and I ended up really lucky. There was a poet named Bill Knott, who was incredible, who just died this year. And Richard Yates, who was a fabulous fiction writer. And he read a piece called Oh Joseph, I'm So Tired, that has an ending that's sort of an homage to the dead. Joyce is the dead, and it's just a killer ending.
Bill Knott, there was a poet guy I used to... He put a song gig, Doug Knott.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's a lawyer man, too. I think he lives up by John Doe and Marin.
Yeah.
And are they related?
I don't think so. Okay. Doug just did a one-man show.
See, I fight Alzheimer every chance I get. So by doing the chow, what did you feed these people?
Oh, man. Some you know, just crudité and stuff like that. You know,
crud.
Just vegetables.
Okay. Oh yeah, what is crudité?
Well, just, you know, like,
it's another word for what? Cucumber?
No, like, is it?
Yeah,
it is, right?
Fresh vegetables.
Yeah, you know.
I think they say it in England.
It was the first time I'd ever known that you could eat broccoli raw, because like my mother used to just mush it up into a brown paste. She's not coming off well right now. Doesn't read.
No, look, any farmer would you tell you if they want a good crop, use a lot of manure. But you play in the urinals too now, so let's hear some of that.
Oh, cool.
What's plain to see is yours to hold. You've traveled far and can't be told. The hand of cards you will behold. Fickle, fickle fortune, oh. The howling wind chose not to stem. The tempest laughs and you do descend. But the golden seer chose to defend. Fickle, fickle fortune, oh. Green grows the leaves, green grows the leaves, green grows the leaves, green grows the leaves. Our diamond sits upon your ease, sailor wrestles open seas, night's army carries its disease. Fickle, fickle fortune, oh. Many choices come too soon, shadows fall while flowers bloom. The argument will not presume. Fickle, fickle fortune, oh. You walk beside a frozen lake. You sometimes give and sometimes take, while leaving what you cannot. Break. What's plain to see is yours to hold. You've traveled far and can't be told. The hand of cards you will behold. Fickle, fickle fortune, oh. Fickle, fickle fortune.
Pedro Show. Yeah, that was Rob with the urinals taking the place of Kel Johansson. You gotta watch out for that because that comes over the microphone real intense. You got one of those little doily things, brother man. You wouldn't know, but we'll know.
No, I do. I'm a major. I should know.
Old King Cole. It's a merry old soul.
Gandalf.
Brother.
Pack
my pipe, man. Anyway, how long did you take in Kel Johansson's place?
Well,
there you go. See, Rob's old guy, he's already thinking. You got one for the pipe?
Yeah.
How many years? 10?
It's like 7 now.
7?
I actually took over for...
And this new tune we heard, We Could Close Our Eyes, this is post-Kel, even composition. It's new, right?
Right, it's going to be on
so
the
like
album.
Urinals. Before it was Urinals, though, you guys dabbled with another name.
I think 100 Flowers came after Urinals.
No, I think that's with... No, I know it's with Kelsfield. No, when you guys... You were playing with them, you were called something else.
Oh, God, it was terrible.
The Chairs of...
Perception.
Chairs of Perception.
It was awful.
As opposed to the Doors.
Yeah.
It's just a name. Yeah, but actually, it was called that, and then it went to Urinals, right?
Yeah, because it was always, you know, no matter what we did, parenthetical, formally,
it was
the Urinals.
Urinals, right. Even though there's Chairs of Perception songs, because I played them on my show when they first came out.
Jack Flanders type thing.
The big green velvet chair, thank you. The big purple one. Then we heard Surfing Fast Girly Show with 2014 versions of Oh Well, because we play 2007, 2008 versions. Now they're two bass players and drums out of Liverpool. And Street Eaters with Reverse, they're coming to town. I think Second Man playing with them at Harold's Place August 6th. That's cool. Got John from the, what is it, Fleshies? Triclops? In fact, today, later on, 6 o'clock today, play with Christian. Yeah, who's the Triclops guitar man, Peace Creep, which we came after that tune called Dream Vacation. Do you ever have those? Brother Matt just did. And why? Finally, from the new Cuz album, Fickle Fortune. I go visit Brother Sam next week. You can spend a weekend. Right. Okay, back to the right. So the first turn on, yeah, that writing might be something for you, was making chow for reading. When did you first get into writing after that?
Probably a year or
two. Event.
Year or two later. Yeah. But
They planted like seed in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I was knocked out the first time, and I was just like, wow, you're allowed to do this. You know, it was just, you know.
You can write what you want.
You can write it all.
Even though you've been doing assignments and shit, that wasn't really writing.
No.
Well, that was right, but that was not expression.
But I'd been writing music, terrible music at the time. But
composing.
Yeah. But yeah.
Did you equate that with fucking words, like writing?
Not at the time, but
these guys you mentioned, one was a poet and the other guy did prose, so it was both guys writing.
Right. Yeah. And
what were you hankering towards? Because some music people, they veer towards poems, right, because of lyrics.
Yeah, I ended up studying with Bill Knott, and he was an amazing poet. He was a terrible teacher, and
not a prose writer, just poems.
Just poems, and just,
so you started writing poems then.
I at the same time, both. Yeah. And
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and I was just much better at prose.
Two-fisted.
Well, one and a half fisted.
Okay. Stronger fist with the right.
Yeah.
Prose. The prose. It's all right. What I heard prose was anything that wasn't poetry.
Yeah, it's not skinny and on the left.
Right. Do you remember your first piece?
I do, actually.
What was it?
It was based on one of the Walendas who fell.
Yeah.
Remember the
sure.
Tightrope walkers? And just in the fiction, a couple people who had witnessed it. It was the first one. It was not a very good story.
Kind of topical.
Yeah, at the time, you know.
At the time, great. Tucci. Tucci, right? Let's hear some more of you.
Some shit and die. Oh, oh, oh. Savoring our dearest charms will neither stun the world nor thrive. Our precious pleasures rarely measure beyond the realm of one's own fun, battling wills to self-satisfy or give entirely over to the need of the hive. Such boisterous grief explodes, contrived until, out of control, we run. Their digging of my doings mountainizes tiny worth into piles of holes, for thick honey of my money drains rapidly away from hive to dust. Outlying wishes burn from my will into lines and words controlled. Yet climb I must, my nightly plight thrusting dreams turned into mush. Whatever I touch becomes soiled, thereby worth uncoils and goes limp. Thus, auric aggrandizement's a bust, bearing no trophy for this heart and soul, yet achingly I fling over and again my will onto canvas and stringed glint, parsing out painterly words, iambic or unrhymed, tempting that warped hole. Hallowed money burns our glands, was sawed into rubber melts, flexing nerves balling up like spam, or recent commerce squelched. They twang air into fuzz notes, where arms all wave, about to launch. Twin mystic words fell out, sparks went up, fairness blamed was gaunt. Luckily we can dream. Thought's been compromised on this side, wondering whether we are webbed or if water rushes through us, or any line of flowers between discovery and towing that wide line is superfluous in task, magnetizing peepers to ions as incongruous. Thoughts bent between sideways lights only a few moments from now, never believe forever slide by in such miracles of impossible color. Or we'd eat knowledge wrapped in world skins of ether mesh and logic. Eternity to unfold in deliberate origamis of sloshing mountainsides. Such calamitous musings on various natures enliven, becoming too real, collapsing too often this wavering conviction, woven of paper and whims, props of steroids, rivets in heart, barely buttressing my waning zeal. Yet how could I smell that flower, or fish with wonder, fresh waters to glimpse? Verily I exist but to try, lifting up in the sky, clouds of memory, 1, 2, 3, they fly by. 5 times 7, I wish I could, never in doubt, rifling down the shards of heaven. Coming around, sometimes we may be heard, the sound not unlike the echoes of rocks falling apart into puffs of dust. Slivers of fish grinding between the atoms of sound and delivering unto us a firm piece of ground.
you, or my map, my bush, my jamba, my doigt de la main, my pied. Quel est votre nom? Lon Chaney. Celluloid, yellowed at the edges, scarred, tattered, twisted, empty reels, black and white, silent, from before the 30s, like an old Lon Chaney movie, crippled, no arms, no legs, no voice. What is your name? Lon Chaney!
Oh, Internet, and not a foot soldier moving peanuts around a jam jar, and not a furry quadruped or hominid.
Or hominid, or bad plumber.
general of the internet, and not a foot soldier moving peanuts around a jam jar, and not a furry quadruped or hominid or bad plumber.
Music for the end of the first hour. 85 Chrysler LeBaron by San Pedro Slim.
Yeah.
That is of Scraps, The Face We Wear, Chris Kroger. Pedro Slim out of Pedro, obviously. Chris Kroger out of Austin.
Wigwam tonight.
Lon Chaney Peer Group, really?
I think so.
I thought it was Sunday. On Thursdays they're having those.
Anyway,
Peer Group, they're an old Pedro band and stuff from 30 years ago. Mr. Sun, It's Okay, that's Hecker, huh? From Red Cross, so somewhere SoCal. Kyoko Flashback, Kanagawa Lady living in Berlin. Alligator Whitefish, Mr. Tom from Tobacco Braided Cellophane, he's out of Pittsburgh. Gigi Band, Sonic Doo-Wop, they're out of Busan, Korea. Tom Gallo with Lazy Honey, that's SoCal. Joe the Internet, Heavy Neolithic Vibe by The God in Hackney. I think they're England guys who moved here. Or New York City. And A Non-Fatal Jack Off on the Moon by Spielgusher. Now, Richard Meltzer, of course, he lives in Portland now. We reached the end of the first hour of July 22, 2014, edition of the Watt Peter Show. Our guest, Mr. Rob Roberge. Hold tight for hour two. July 22, 2014, second hour of Watt Pedro Show.
¿A quién estáis esperando en esa carpa llovía? Si están todos trabajando, compañera Coligüilla. Si están todos trabajando, compañera Coligüilla. Tenían clientes antes de tener teléfono. que tenían cliente antes de tener terreno. Compañera coligüilla, siempre dispuesta a farrear. Aquí las farras son menos y los trabajos son más. Aquí las farras son menos y los trabajos son más. Aquí las farras son menos y los trabajos son más.
Ghetto Styles.
Pedro Show started the second hour off with Victor Jara. Jara. Shouldn't be an idiot. Say it right. La Carpa de las Colaguillas. Which is probably terrible. Beautiful man. I think shot 23 times. Soccer stadium, that crap when the Pinochet had to give up the job, right? Familia Miranda with Dodek Sosek. Those are two guys living in Barcelona. I got to stay with great cats. Ideal Love by the Honorarios. And Tienta Corrupto Petronizir. I think they're Valencia. And finally, Za with Casa Mansa Número 3. And then that's Barcelona, Catalan Cats. Back with our guest, Robert Auberge.
Yeah.
And his journey of writing. And after first writing about, tightrope fatality, where did you venture next with writing?
Just a bunch of stories that, I did it
for. They were just stories, right?
That's how I started.
Good people. He's had four novels come out. And in fact, a fifth is coming. Not a novel, but a memoir. And so I'm thinking about, or I'm curious about that period between the tightrope thing and your published novels. So you started writing articles for people, online things.
I did journalism for a while.
And so you took classes.
I actually followed this
journalism, like reporter.
Yeah, but I made shit up, so they said you're better in fiction. Like I'd transcribe interviews.
There's been a lot of scandals, right? Boston Globe, New York Times.
Yeah, I mean these were
guys either plagiarizing or just making shit up.
Yeah, it wasn't like I'd end up doing an interview with someone and I got really lazy about transcribing and I just ended up writing, I was young, I had no idea, I just ended up writing what I thought was more interesting, and they said, you can't do that, you might want to be a fiction writer.
Okay, so after dabbling with that shit, you went on to full-on stories.
Yeah, and
what's this thing about character development, did you try that?
It's a definite...
It's more important than a plot.
I think language and character is more important than plot to me. I mean, other writers would probably think differently, but, people approach it differently.
You know about a story called Sam Pebbles, Richard McKenna?
I don't.
He was a Navy man, he was the engine room guy, and they made it into a movie in 66 with Steve McQueen. It was me and D. Boone's favorite movie. Anyway, I read the book in the 90s, I didn't know there was a book. And I read his story because... He thought, well, if you're going to be a writer, well, you should read Mr. Hemingway, Mr. Steinbeck.
Sure.
So you do this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
So it's kind of like self-medication, and not so much just the school stuff. On your own, you're reading what we call... Well, it's the 20th century, but they're still kind of classics.
Yeah, I mean, really, for me, like, the modern period kind of starts with Chekhov, and I was really into... 20th century short fiction and novels, and that's where I started. I mean, some Victorian stuff, but I really sort of clicked with the modern period, you know.
Yeah. And what you do, you just start soliciting journals and magazines?
Yeah, I'm getting rejected for almost a decade, you know.
10 years. So you were like pracking.
Yeah, you know.
Doing a lot of prack with the writing.
Yeah, and, you know,
what
looking...
What do you call it, Brother Matt? What's
sharpening the saw.
Sharpening the saw.
It was a dull saw for a lot of years.
You were developing out of nowhere since you were a late comer.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't know why I kept going with it.
You know, Vincent painted only his last 10 years.
Really?
I don't think anybody... Yeah, all... And look, he's the whaler, right? He's the big daddy of that painting stuff.
You've been to the museum in Amsterdam, right?
That's named after him, yeah.
Yeah, I love that
All
museum.
The letters to his sister and mother. I think he was an intense fan of art, and I think that helps. And I think that's why cats usually get into it later, because they're fans of that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you were impressed by those prose man and the poet. I think the thing about being a kid... Your parents are scaring you a little bit, or incredible lucky find with friends or something. You know what I mean? Later on, you're actually making choices in your life.
Right.
So maybe it's even more focused. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, like you said, 10 years.
Yeah, it had to be at least 7, probably 10 before I had
a
piece published.
Did you keep the things they write back?
The rejection letters?
Yeah, you want to call them that.
I had them for years.
Call them the correspondent. but you dumped them.
I had them for years.
I think I might have.
I lost them in a storage unit.
Did you call them character builders?
Yeah, well...
Like playing, when I play a cave, I call that a character build.
Some of them really were. I mean, some were very... you know, nice, and they would in writing they call it ink, where they actually write on it and say, you know, please send again, your stuff doesn't suck, essentially. But some are just form rejections, you know.
Whenever there's like an underscore and then your name is written in there.
Yeah. You know, so those were
like
fucking dead. Fuck them people.
Sometimes there's no name. It's just a sheet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like this.
You don't know who to go after.
This is not for us.
Okay. It's been quite a while since we had Brother Matt. Oh, I want the spin cycle. So, I want to get back to your story, but let's, like, interrupt it for some Brother Matt and his spin cycle.
Cool, thank you.
Bye. No introductions needed, boy, just call me the undefeated. And underneath this Georgia dry, I know I can't be seen with my vocals, because my vocals are classic, like Coca-Cola when they had cocaine in the bag. Yeah. I meant to say, blowing the ingredients, and I went to the mall today, and all the niggas had on medium. Little bit of ad clothes, like dancing with the stars without the judges on the dance floor. Oh, and niggas don't dance no more, all they do is this. Beef it up, call me Venus, fly truck, waiting on fly MC to eat them up. I'm fly as I can beef them weak as fuck, and ain't no keeping up. I'm ball deep in them. Keep enough fat sex, nigga. Cadillac killer, cataract prescription filler. I got my medicinal card from Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles. A connoisseur of cannabis, and from Atlanta, bitch, we never shop with strangers. No matter what strain they slangin', some of the gang rules done changed. Niggas is out here talking like a cockatoo to a cockatoo. Now they watching you and your mama too. Bird's eye view.
Talking dirty on my cellular. Player, I got some young girls that'll sell you some. And if you're my homeboy, she gon' give you some. And it's all for the paper, but she still gon' come. You're dipping in the cookie jar, now you're sprung. I had you tripping like you're smoking fur. Player, my hoes don't talk, anybody gon' tell your girl. Niggas wanna tell it, hoes wanna gossip, cause they pussy wasn't hidden, and they lip was super sloppy. Suck a duck, a motherfucker, we on top, the brain of Bobby. Broke my money, corner pocket, plenty game, ho. Stop it like a biscuit, king of diamond, king of trickin', what's the difference? Got it poppin' like a skillet with some chicken grease in it. Cut your horn, cut your brain, from the belly to the brain. Work to get nobody trickin', cause the money I already made. We on fire, 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 fire. We on fire, 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 fire. We on fire, fire.
I got haters in my biz, talking about the trio, but don't know what the fuck it is. Motherfuckers nowadays are seriously sorry, thinking that the key to life is putting your business on Mari. They say you're rocking Mari, but the motherfuckers rock for it. Always talking about you busting, nigga, but your Glock short. I know the truth, so ain't no need in your lying. Bullshit ain't working, ain't no need in your trying. Dying to be the nigga that's spying in the telescope, crying with trailer niggas, put iron to your belly, folk. Telling them tall tales, fibs, and humdangers. Favor for Jeremy Kyle, Steve, and Jerry Springer. Buzzing like a bee trying to stick me with your stanger. Bitch, you kick it the middle.
What middle?
The finger. Stick it in your ass and let it linger. No homo, we hit the high note like a R&B singer. Oh, promo.
I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. We have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and little children. Victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress, the hate of men who will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people, and so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are not cattle, you are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Lucas is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. Decent world that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of God.
Thank you so much for cool. once again bringing back in our consciousness the fucking spin cycle. What was the modus, your impetus, your inspiration?
I had a little leftover aloha, sublime style.
Aloha.
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 And then had some remix Godzilla for Skipper Jeff, and he already wanted that one. And Charlie Chaplin with a little spiel.
Skipper Jeff was in Hawaii?
No. He wanted some Godzilla like months ago. That was a leftover. Yeah, how was the cut? Pretty cool setup down there.
The cut, but also Terminal Island. Went over, tried to chat, but the place was closed.
Oh, bunk. Dagger Moth.
Saw the little memorial for the town that was there. Nihonmachi.
Yeah, the Japanese statues right by the prison.
Yeah, Big Fish is what the kanjis really like. On the Tori, the little, kind of hoax.
Mm.
Big Fish! Most days, they have pictures of
them. Yeah, there's a cool movie, The Last Village of Terminal Island. It's a cool flick.
That was a wild town. I mean, beforehand. And then with the tuna nurses at the Chicken of the Sea factory and all that stuff.
Yeah, they dug up. That was a stinky time to travel.
This had to be removed in a month.
Yeah.
Slowly the carries went away. There's hardly anything over there now. Harbor Light. Yeah. One time I'm going to get a chow there. But
because of the darkest.
Holiday was closed.
Fuck.
Yeah, Brother Matt used to work at that. Oregon man Pete Masich.
Yeah. His dad.
Used to do that. Pet food there, right. Huh?
There's a place to eat on Terminal Island?
It's called Harbor Light.
Yeah, it used to be Joe Biss was a wild place.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, but because of the 4th of July weekend when Skipper Jeff brought me on over there, it was Cerrado. Next time. But then he also he's taking me to the back and the chowder, but I had three missions with him this summer.
Cool.
Great.
Very cool.
Okay, back with Rob about the writing. We were talking during your spin cycle about a bunch of stuff. And I proposed I put up the proposition that maybe writing is one of the most private forms of expression there is, because you get the writer, the reader, and just those little symbols on the page between them. And so what do you have to say about something like that?
It's a weird sort of dichotomy, because you got to write the book you want to write and kind of not care about what anyone thinks about it, because then you're writing from a position of insecurity and commerciality, but you simultaneously have to remember that you're there to entertain the reader, and the reader's your friend, so you're not there to fuck with them, so it's weird to think you at the same time you're doing both. So does that make sense?
It trips me out. A reader got so much stuff to choose from. It's really kind of an honor that they're going to spend the time checking your stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, Vonnegut said the thing you're asking of a reader is the most important commodity a person has, their free time. So you better bring it for them. Or else...
See, that's why I said it's such a private thing. It's like the writer, the reader.
Yeah.
There's hardly any middle gunk.
Yeah, and it's,
I guess education or lack of... Like I was, for example, I brought up the example of Mr. Poe ending a story in French.
Right.
Like expecting his readers to have some kind of learning.
Yeah, or like some early Cormac McCarthy where he'll just drop in language that,
Well, I've read The Road of Depression, but then I read the trilogy, and it's half Spanish, Mexican Spanish.
Right.
But you know what? The way he weaves it in there, it's still a Faulkner trip in a way. It's still U.S., even though he's using the Spanish.
No, he pulls it off.
Yeah, man, that guy knows how to write a sentence.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, you read it out loud, almost doesn't matter what the plot is.
And The Road is so different. It's so stripped down compared to the trilogy,
Oh, The Road?
Yeah.
That was a beat down. Wow. But you could tell it was the same dude. I mean, there's a lot of beat down in the trilogy, a lot of hell and stuff, but man, that road was all beat down. And then, this is what happens with me, with writers. I get to be fans of them, and I want to check out their other stuff. I start hearing a voice. It's almost like I get into the writers, especially my age now. What I did to start in my 40s was start rereading all the shit in the 20s.
Because,
of course, their words didn't change, but all the books read different.
Oh, yeah.
On the road, or Ulysses or stuff.
I read Gatsby once a year, and it's a different book every time.
So it's you changing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a way, the writers, they're doing a lot for us by just being themselves in a way. I got a lot of respect. Let's listen to Watford Pedro show. Yeah, we heard The Urinals with Rob doing Black Hole. This is from that same gig where you did We Could Close Our Eyes. I think you played it right after it, in fact. Before that was Brain on a Plate by 4D Nightmare, Messiah's Aaron Oppenheim, and ahead of that was Fit for a King, War Tears and Some. We reached the end of the second hour of Watford Pedro show, July 20, 2014 edition. Hold tight for hour three. July 20, 2014, it's the third hour of the What from Pedro show.
There's no comparing when Trisexual. So fuck with you when you can Trisexual. Theology cannot be nonsensical. Poetical. Reason why we have to hate Nonsexual. See, I would really rather Bisexual. Because my love is over Bisexual. Psychology can study contextual. Bipolio. Reasons for my infantile Bisexual. So when you cruise your kids is Bisexual. I'm telling you, you better Trisexual. Trisexual.
Sometimes I ask for a lot, but why can't somebody name a bar after a delightfully fictitious Irishman?
Where are you?
For Pedro show, we started the third hour off with some brand new stuff by the Dwarves, Trisexual, then the Gears' new album, The Master Plan, Bob Schreiner after that with Irish Barn, Basho Made of Wood, Endless Contortionist, that's Matt Hayes, talking in New York City, doing the 2014-07-07-01, so that's the first jam on the that day a couple weeks ago, and then finally out of Italy, but they're living in London right now. Rewild, Out of My Health, back with Robert Burge, the discipline, the freedom, the joy and sorrow of putting pen to paper. Do you do it that way, or do you use a computer?
Notes and some scenes I do pen and paper in a notebook and then take it to the computer.
Have you ever seen, for example, the notebooks, Jim Joyce, he had colored pencils. I think Jack Kerouac had a lot of notes.
Yeah, and then typed on ream paper.
Yeah, I saw it at the New York Public Library. There's something you see that. So, only at the end of the day you use the computer, like to get it where it has to go, probably.
Yeah.
You don't compose on it.
Not often. Sometimes, like if I'm deep in a book, once I really know what's going on with it,
yeah,
I'll be on the computer.
What do you start with, the title?
Almost never.
I like it black and strong, like Big Men.
I don't think it's all that strong on this round, but it's black. Okay, I'll work.
So titles last? I say that because when I'm writing songs, I have to start with the title or I got no focus. But then songwriting is not novel writing, although incredible influence is writers, second painters, other musicians further down the list. I'm not as afraid of copying, because there's levels of abstraction to work in a writer's
ideas
for me.
Yeah, the newest.
I just love writing. You know, the first stuff I got into was Encyclopedia. Right? My mom got me World Book.
It's a great book to start with.
A to Z, you know. Then after that, no more non-fiction, only fiction, and it was science fiction because we were in a space race.
Mm.
Right, because I'm born in '57, so my boyhood thing is all this 60 to 60. I think today's the day Neil Armstrong
set
foot down. Buzz Aldrin wrote down with him, but I think this is put his foot out. It was camping in the mountains, I think, when it happened.
So it's also Chappaquiddick.
Oh, wow.
They're the same day.
Wow.
I mean, different historic moment.
Yeah. Which one of the other ones a tragedy.
Yeah.
Did you ever get into science fiction?
Not a lot.
Because you weren't a reader until you were ready to write.
And I did later.
Except school assignments. And look, I've run into this with people who were made to play as a kid. They didn't want to play when they got... Some of that forced stuff is not happening. I think it's good, healthy when somebody goes for it because they want it.
But I did get into really dystopic science fiction later. I mean, I love a good post-apocalyptic story.
Yeah, this is like we were saying, Mr. McCarthy in the Road.
Yeah, and there's like a really great...
Pushing that shopping cart around with his boy.
A really early science fiction by a guy named Zamyatin from Russia called We, that kind of predicts like the modern prison system in 1912 or something.
Wow.
But, you know, so it's
Jack
really...
Jack Black, what, you can't win?
Oh, yeah, the Hobo Memoir?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
not
great.
The Jack Black me and you know, but as a writer,
right.
Charlie Poimel turned me on. And he wrote about the prison system.
Yeah.
But nonfiction.
Right.
We, huh?
Yeah.
Spell his last name?
Oh, I can't. Okay. It's you know, one of those
it's a risky guy.
Complex Russian names.
Okay. I remember Mr. Bradbury, of course, Roger Zelazny, Mr. Dick, of course. I really got into it, and then Deep Blue got me back into nonfiction, read about history. There's just something about fiction. Did you ever read Huck Finn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, being on the raft with Jim. I love that. Let's play some music. We'll be right back.
This is Hector Berlioz.
Thank you.
Just leave me by the hand. I can't wait for what comes. thousand past lives, formulas and father figures. He made a scan and he tipped the keg, bent the watch band of his old bud.
Brother Matt, get some essential information there. Last music for today, Beijing Hardcore by Fanzhu Jiangfa, which is a China band. HC by Noha Banda Trio, featuring Francesco Berazzati. Papu Bell, Metallo Bain, great French punk band from the 70s. Franco-American with Hector Veloz's Symphony Fantastique. That's Tripod Jimmy, Mr. Tom Herman, big hero of mine. I got to play a recording with Tony Mamone in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nels Klein, Greg Saunier.
Cool.
Nick Reinhardt, Big Walnuts Yonder, Praj. Beautiful tone. And then Carl Kitchen, that's Brother Steve McKay on the sax there. I found her among the roses. trippy tune, especially, I think it's 1971. Trip the Light Fantastic named the band. After that's Gerald Jets with Blue Stardust Jack Off. Lost My Baby in the City by Some Days. PLKTS. How would you pronounce that? Pokits? Anyway. Billions of Comrades. The Lemon Limes. I think they're out of Belgium. Lemon Limes out of Oaktown up north. Java's Tape Op. And finally, Arizona Metabolism from Dallas, Texas. With Stop Clocks. I get to play with them in October. They will send you to my Nio tour that's coming up. So beautiful. You're working on a memoir now.
No, finished it. Just sold it.
Just sold it. He's got four books before that, people. We can go to websiteyourname.com, right?
Yeah.
ROBERGE.com.
Right.
People, check it out. Interesting journey. What advice would you give Rob, somebody who wanted to get into writing, be either young or older, or less young?
Probably the biggest is to read a ton. You know,
become a reader before you become a writer.
Yeah, and stay a reader. You know, just grow with it. You know, it's that's the biggest. I've got a friend who, you know, I teach, and he says, you know, really, you don't need to teach. He's like, just give him a library card and Strunk and White, and they'll be fine.
are library cards still important?
Well,
this day of internet,
I hope so.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
we're talking about physical copies versus only online copies, where you don't know, maybe stuff got changed.
Well, yeah, and not just changed. I mean, I love the physical artifact of a book.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the LPs of the 70s. You know, like where you would actually listen to a record. You know, just take it out and stare at the liner notes and just be really intimate with it. And I think a book's somehow more intimate than the internet, a physical book, just for me.
Now, this last book you did is a memoir. The other four were fictions, right?
Right.
So you like going off into another...
Yeah, it was hard. I didn't think it would be as hard as it was.
So maybe that's some advice, too. Take chances?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know...
He or she who dares...
Yeah, you know, I used to think that every book should be better than the last one, and I think that's maybe unrealistic, but I think every book should be different than the last one.
Okay.
You know, that you can achieve. You're not always in control of... And what's better is subjective. You know, like, I'm always most interested in the one I'm working on, not the one I did.
Wow, because it's looking forward instead of looking backward.
Well, you know... And I just see everything that isn't quite right about them that I'd do differently, but I couldn't have done differently because I was a different
person.
You weren't
there then.
Yeah.
Good point. So in a way, they're diary entries.
Yeah, to a certain extent. You know.
That's the way I tried it when somebody, I remember being a young Minuteman, and they were asking, of course, D. Boone called it out loud thinking, which is great.
Yeah.
But I wasn't so clever, so I said diary entry. Rob, so much. I want to thank you for being on the show. Laurie, sorry I didn't get to talk with you, but you made good, what do you call this?
Vibe?
No, kind of treatment, acoustic, so we didn't have such an echo in here. You could, like, absorb something.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, really
thank you for coming out. I think you're first writer, right? Did we have a writer before?
I think, we had a writer.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're the second writer.
Yeah. Well, that's where I fit.
I think you were the first. I'm just very glad you came aboard. Good luck with the next thing. Oh, what's the next plan now that you sold that memoir?
Working on a novel actually called Terminal Island.
Terminal Island, people. Great. You know original name?
Rattlesnake Island?
Right. Mm. I think the train company called it Terminal Island.
Yeah.
Which I found out now why George H. Peck was a conductor. No boss, but he started buying property. He got us part of LAC to get free of the Union Pacific or Southern Pacific, surely pathetic or whatever. Anyway, I can't wait to read your Terminal Island or your Snakeskin Island. Well,
very cool.
Great to see you again. Indeed. I'm going to be gone next week because I got to go see Brother Sam, but then after that, I return.
Cool. Hope to maybe catch you tonight if possible.
Oh, yeah, at Harold's place. And for Charlie Hayden, doing the gig. Everybody out here, it's been July 20, 2014 edition of Waffle Pedro Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.